Hi everyone, it's Anthony Samroff here. Welcome to episode 107 of the Be Yourself and Love It podcast. As most of you know, I'm forever writing books on the pharmaceutical industry, putting out my articles at psychosocial.substack.com. But I don't just want to write about the problems in the world. The whole point is to steward people to solutions. And over my time writing, I've made contact with people who've, say, reversed cancer or colitis, things that their doctors told them were incurable. I myself have reversed conditions that the mainstream doctors couldn't do anything for. And I thought it was really important if I wrote about it, I wanted to make contact with real clinicians and people who were actually helping people reverse disease. And one of the things I did was reach out to Dr. Patrick Vickers at the Advanced Gerson Therapy Clinic in Tijuana, Mexico, partly because I'd heard him on podcasts myself and I thought he was a really engaging speaker. It was really interesting because summer of tw 2022, I'm listening to him on a podcast. And a few months later, I'm hanging out with him because when I reached out to him, he was kind enough to invite me to come and see it for myself and try the protocol for a few days. And so I got to try it. I got to speak to his patients. We made friends with each other. He had some contacts in Scotland who he put me in touch with. And this video interview got taken down and banned from YouTube. So what's the point in having a show if you can't put out your own content? So now this is available again, and I hope you'll enjoy my interview with Dr. Patrick Vickers. Hello, I'm at the Advanced Gerson Therapy Clinic in Tijuana, Mexico, with Dr. Patrick Vickers, someone I'm now very honored to call my friend and a colleague in the fight against all the corruption that's going on in the medical industry these days. You are, I would say, the foremost promoter of Gerson therapy in the world today. And I guess we'll maybe just start off with the obvious question, which is, what the hell is Gerson therapy for those who haven't heard of it before?
Thanks. Dr. Max Gerson was a bona fide medical doctor from about 1910 until 1959 when he died. Nobel Peace Prize winner Albert Schweitzer called him the greatest genius in medical history. Dr. Gerson was reversing a vast majority of degenerative diseases, including terminal cancer, right? And I lived with Gerson's family and I was trained personally by them. And now I've had this clinic going for 13 years where we're applying the Gerson therapy, which you've gotten a chance to experience it. So it's 13 juices a day, five coffee enemas a day, very specific supplementation, and then all the other protocols that we're doing to enhance what Dr. Gerson left us when he died in 1959.
Right, excellent. And I'd love to get into the protocols and the real reads of what the actual benefit of these are and how it works. Because some people might just incorporate elements of Gerson therapy into their life for health reasons or as preventative medicine. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, an ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure, right?
Not to pharmaceutical companies, though, which
No.
is why they have a great emphasis on treating diseases that are preventable.
Well, they would rather keep you sick because that's where the money is. But you can understand why Gerson to this day remains the most censored doctor, in the history of medicine, because he was and we continue to reverse virtually every single degenerative disease, only barring maybe a handful do we not have great success with. And so we are definitely a thorn in their side. It's hard to believe that we've been reversing advanced disease for over 100 years, and 99% of the population's never even heard of it.
And you gave me a great book called Censured for Reversing Cancer, or Censored
Censored for
for
Curing
Curing
Cancer.
Cancer, The American Experience of Max Gerson,
Yeah.
which talked a lot about the blocks that came up in his life when he was trying to spread the knowledge of, and he had some doctors who came and learned from him and tried his methods, and they found the interesting thing is people who, and you're in Mexico, right? Because you're not allowed to practice this in America. That's right,
If
aren't
I
you?
opened my clinic in the United States, I would get shut down and I would go to jail.
Right. So
But the interesting thing is, most people who come to Gerson therapy have tried conventional treatments and are terminal anyway. So what would it matter to them if they're taking a last-ditch attempt to change and reverse their cancer with diet? That in itself should be suspicious that something is going on that's worked. Now, I've only been here for 4 days, and thank God as your guest, not as a patient. But even here, I've seen every patient that you have also has a companion. Mm. And just the look on people's faces, in 4 days, they look, their skin looks better, they look bright.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a change in everyone just in 4 days following the Gerson program. So one of the main things, and there's a big trend for juicing now. I've gone on juicing retreats before where I just drunk juices for a week. And things like that. And I met a guy called Jason Vale, who's the juice master, who had a best-selling book. He had to change the title because it was called 7 pounds in 7 days.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to advertise to people to lose 7 pounds in 7 days.
Which our patients do, by the way. They lose seven pounds in 7 days and then some, right?
Right. In case that's dangerous. But you're allowed to advertise a McDonald's burger, and that's not dangerous to people's health, but saying, you know, hey tubby, why don't you lose 7 pounds in 7 days? That's not allowed, right? So what's the value of juicing?
The value of juicing, you know, it cleanses the cells, first of all. Right. It pulls toxicity out of the cells back into the bloodstream for elimination via the liver, right? Which is why we give the coffee enemas, when we juice.
Definitely talk about the coffee enemas.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so that's the one thing it does. But more importantly, we've eaten these diets highly depleted in nutrition.
Right.
White sugar, white flour, white rice, cookies, cake, ice cream, pasta, bagels, muffins, all the crap we've eaten for decade after decade after decade. We've depleted our body of our nutrient status.
Right.
And you have to replenish that. You have to restore that nutrient status we've depleted by bombarding the body with pure, raw nutrition and intensive.
Right.
That's why our patients have to get 13 juices per day.
Wow. It equates, and that sounds like so many to most people.
Well, it equates to 20 pounds of fruits and vegetables every single day. And it has to be organic. If it's not organic, we can't cure our patients. They die.
And that would make sense because, you know, if you're just eating the produce, you're getting some pesticides, but 20 pounds, you're juicing that, you're getting, you know, several times as many pesticides and whatever other things that they put, they sadly spray the crops with these days. It's all
if you're juicing conventional produce,
so
that's right.
So yeah, and that obviously it comes at a premium these days, organic produce.
Yeah.
But you know, as you said, and
it's life insurance.
It is. I mean, you're going to pay for it later.
That's right.
If you put poisonous chemicals in your body. And these pesticides, they kill the microbiome, which helps our digestion.
That's right.
As well, because they're just little creatures. One of my teachers told me there's only one central nervous system in all of nature. So if something's poisonous to a pest, because it messes with their nervous system, it's poisonous to you.
Without a doubt. All life revolves around the same principles biologically, and if you contaminate one piece of life, it's going to contaminate any other piece of life, right?
So there's two huge principles to the juicing. One is the removal of toxins through hydration and nutrition of the cell, the nutritional element and the detoxification element.
Mm.
Right. Five coffee enemas, really? Can't people just do one coffee enema a day?
On this protocol.
Does it really need to be five?
It does on this protocol.
Let's hear why that is.
Well, you need to understand that obviously someone coming in with disease is toxic from a lifestyle of all the toxins that they've ingested, they've breathed, they've drunk, they've put on their bodies, in their bodies. So we have to detoxify them from that. Now, you have to understand they're coming in with a disease process, i.e. a majority of our patients are cancer patients. So they're coming in with tumors.
Mm-hmm.
And tumors have their own biological processes that are producing endotoxins, so toxins within the body. So you have to consider that. Now, when we put people on this therapy, not only are we drawing those toxins out of the cells into the bloodstream, but as you break down diseased tissue and rebuild new tissue, those are toxic byproducts.
Right.
So we have to bombard the body with detoxification. And the rule is for every 3 to 4 juices, our patients have to do 1 coffee enema.
Right.
That's the rule, because that's the amount of toxicity you generate. And there is nothing more powerful to detoxify the human body than a coffee enema.
And let's explain the biochemistry of how that works.
Yeah.
Because people might be skeptical about it.
Right.
If you go on Wikipedia, they'll say the coffee enema's hokey.
Yeah.
And that's the first, this is how they get, the first thing people will do is they read up Wikipedia and they go, Wikipedia says it's rubbish, it must be rubbish.
Rubbish and dangerous, right? They'll tell you it's rubbish and they'll tell you it's dangerous.
But they don't tell you that all the toxic compounds, the pharmaceuticals...
Right, that those are dangerous.
That those are dangerous and toxic.
Yeah, and neither of those things are true, by the way, that they're dangerous and they don't work. Mm. Both are false.
Right.
So let's explain the science, because it is science.
It is science.
Yeah, and this can be followed up by the work of a guy named Peter Lechner.
Right.
Peter Lechner did actual studies on the coffee enema, but they've been used, actually, believe it or not, Gerson made those famous. We've been using them for over 100 years. So
they're nothing new.
No, they're nothing new, but Gerson made them famous. So your liver produces an enzyme. Mm-hmm. It's called glutathione transferase.
Right.
That's one of the most potent detoxifying enzymes in the human body. It goes up mopping up toxins, free radicals. Well, the way the liver produces that is palmitic acid. Properly roasted organic coffee taken rectally is loaded with palmitic acid.
Right.
And Peter Lechner was able to demonstrate that when you take 1 coffee enema, the production of glutathione transferase by the body goes up 600 to 700% greater than normal.
Yes, I also heard that one study of Korea said that it increases bile production as well.
That's
so that
exactly
maybe is
right.
Another, so there are studies, but you just need to dig around a little bit.
Yeah.
And these days, everyone wants your study.
People say, well, why can't I just drink it?
Right.
Well, the problem is when you drink it, one, it's a different bean, meaning it has a higher pH bean, the enema that we're doing, more basic, right? The coffees that we drink are highly aromatic, they're acidic. And then when you drink it, not only is it roasted, you know, for drinking status, whereas the enema's lightly roasted and you just wouldn't drink it, it's not that flavorful, right? But when you run it through the digestive tract, you actually burn up those palmitic acid salts.
Okay.
In the digestive process, so it doesn't have the same effect.
Right. Okay. And I'm pretty basic myself, so I'm glad that you're breaking it down for us. You said that a tumor on this protocol tends to disappear in 9 months to a year. Is that
9 to 12 months typically?
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And in Gerson's life, he had lots of stories of tumors just shrinking and
disappearing.
And he could anticipate what would happen to a patient.
Yeah.
If a patient, I remember one had an operation on their head and some of the tumor was sticking out. And even once the Gerson's therapy started to work, some of his doctors were saying, oh, we should still operate on that. And Gerson was like, that's a dead tumor. That's just going to start leaking pus soon.
That's right.
And that turned out...
To be exactly what happened.
So he had a real understanding of how this process worked in the body. So his main shtick, let's say, was cellular metabolism.
Yeah.
Right? Restoring metabolism to the body, and he believes a key ingredient in that was the proper function of the liver. So maybe you could talk about metabolism and the liver.
Well, let's just talk about metabolism, right? Because while the liver ultimately is the main metabolic organ responsible for detoxification, making hormones, making bile, you know, it does a lot of things. It takes cholesterol, converts it into vitamin D, converts it into different hormones, converts it into bile acids. But where you really have to heal metabolism, we need to define metabolism first, which is the breakdown of food into energy.
Right.
When you see someone who's sick and dying, what do you notice? They're lethargic. Why are they lethargic? They've lost the capacity to produce energy on a cellular level. What does that mean? Well, we're taught in natural medicine that 70% of your immune system is where?
In your gut.
In your digestive tract. Well, where does the breakdown of food into energy take place? in the gut, right? You eat your food, stomach breaks it down, sends it to the pancreas to break it down into secondary byproducts. Then that gets passed on to the small intestine to break it down into tertiary byproducts. And that's where the breakdown of food takes place. Well, once you've healed the gut, and you can only heal the gut with food.
Okay.
You can give it supplements and probiotics and, you know, which can be used and serve as adjuncts to that.
Right.
But ultimately, the only thing that's going to heal the human digestive tract is food. Mm. And that's where the juices in the food on the Gerson therapy reign supreme, right? So once you've healed the gut, there's still other aspects of metabolism you have to heal. The breakdown of food into energy. We've healed the portion of breaking down the food. Now we've got to restore proper cellular metabolism. And that's something we have destroyed from the day we're born to the day we get sick. Why? The way the human body creates energy, right? You absorb your nutrients into the bloodstream. Now you've got to convert those sugars and those nutrients into energy. So the sugar inside a cell, there's little things called mitochondria. They convert sugar into energy, okay? However, they need all the nutrients that are in that food in order to properly convert it into energy. And they need one more thing. They need oxygen. You cannot create energy on a cellular level if you do not have oxygen available to the cell. And this is where one of the biggest things that we're doing to our body is destroying that ability. Around your cell, you have a cell membrane. That cell membrane's the gatekeeper. It determines what can go in, what can't go in, what must come out, what can't go out. All of that's determined at the level of the cell membrane based on the charge, the electrical charge at the level of the cell membrane. That cell membrane is made up of what? It's made up of fats. It's the fats at the level of the cell membrane that determine the electrical charge. Well, what kind of fats is everyone eating today? They're eating saturated fats, meat, cheese, dairy, all these oils, cookies, cake, ice cream, all these things that are loaded with saturated fats. Saturated fats are defined by their hydrogen that's bound to them. Right? So when we define fats, you'll hear saturated fats, monosaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats, okay? They're defined based on their saturation with hydrogen.
Right.
This is really crucial to understand. Like, it's the most important point to understand health and understand disease. You must be able to oxygenate cells to convert food into energy, and that is the secret to life. When we die, we stop creating energy. And the immune system needs massive amounts of energy on a daily basis to function normally, let alone cure a sick and dying body. So you have to be able to get oxygen into the cell. If your cell is made up of saturated fats, saturated with hydrogen, as oxygen approaches the cell, the electrical charge cannot accept it. And it literally gets repelled away. So instead of sugar getting converted into energy, it now goes down the process of fermentation,
right?
Like alcohol, like beer, like wine, right? To the production of lactic acid.
Right.
And that's what feeds disease.
Yes, because the bacteria are going to be like, oh, that's tasty. And they're all going to breed and eat that as food. I've had people with fungal conditions in the extremities, the fingers, the toes, and they disappear when they, I think it was Dr. Young that popularized the alkaline diet.
That's right.
Yes. And he, you know, they follow that alkaline diet and stuff that the doctors said they had nothing for. You could put a cream in that, but it'll just come back as soon as you stop using the cream.
Yeah.
That's because even if you put a cream on a mold or fungal infection, even bacterial, whatever you use to kill it, you're not
changing the underlying cause.
Exactly. The environment is still hospitable to microorganisms.
You have to change the environment.
And they're going to come and feast, and then they're going to create endotoxins as well
through
their metabolic process. And that is actually the process of the body dying before you die, the mold and fungus is setting in while you're alive to take you away to the Grim Reaper and take your body down to the earth.
And cancer is considered fungal and fermentative in nature, right?
Right.
But you mentioned something about, you know, that gentleman Young who talked about the alkaline diet. That's exactly what we're talking about. Right. When we're talking about hydrogen, how many times have you heard an alkaline diet promotes health and acidic diet promotes disease, right? Well, these terms are always thrown out, but they're never properly explained. Okay. What are the health implications of those two terms? Well, we just talked about it. When we're talking about alkalinity and acidity, what are we talking about? We're talking about pH.
Right.
What's pH?
Power
potential hydrogen. That's what pH is, potential hydrogen. What did we just say? The cell membranes are made up of saturated fats, saturated with what?
Hydrogen.
So potential hydrogen, acidity, which causes disease, an acidic diet, high in hydrogen. Acidity is the buildup of hydrogen in the body, particularly at the level of the cell membrane. And I said that if you have a cell membrane made up of saturated fats, saturated with hydrogen, you can't get oxygen into the cell. You can't convert your food into energy. So the definition of acidity is the improper utilization of oxygen by the body. And it's an alkaline diet that restores proper metabolism. Also, you notice that your meals, you get flax oil, right? Why? Because flax oil is a polyunsaturated fatty acid. When you use that to now make up the fats at the level of the cell membrane, that literally draws oxygen into the cell like a magnet.
Because it's completely unsaturated.
And its electrical charge draws it in.
It's looking around for oxygen. Now, it's wonderful to be here with you on that point exactly, because just a few short months ago, before I even knew I'd ever meet you, I was in Scotland and I had my daily juicing and smoothie routine, and I heard you on a podcast, and I went out across to the Roots and Fruits, it's called, and I bought some cold pressed flaxseed oil, and I started taking a tablespoon or two every
day
based on your recommendation.
Good job.
And here we are sitting together.
Talking about flax oil.
And metabolism.
And we haven't addressed the last issue of metabolism.
Okay,
right?
Let's do it.
That's the last one. So, we've healed the gut with the food.
Mm-hmm.
We've restored the charge at the level of the cell membrane with flax oil, right? There's one more thing that we've done to destroy the last aspect of metabolism that you must heal. Salt.
Right.
Salt destroys metabolism because when you eat salt, salt and water enter the cells and swell the cell up with cellular edema. So the little mitochondria inside the cell cannot function properly.
Right.
So the Gerson therapy is a no salt, low fat, only polyunsaturated fat with flax oil, and no meat, dairy, none of that. It's just organic food, flax oil, and a no sodium diet. Why? You have to get salt and water out of the cells so you can restore the internal integrity of the cell so that the mitochondria have the proper environment to function efficiently in. And we have destroyed it with salt, and that includes the good salt. There's no such thing as good salt.
Just less bad salt.
That's right. There's better salt, but there's not good salt. People say, well, I don't eat table salt. I eat Celtic salt, Himalayan salt. Those are better salts. But they're still high in the destructive molecule of sodium chloride.
It was something I noticed when I was a kid. My dad would put on a lot of salt, and he couldn't taste it. I remember once going on holiday, and he'd be like, oh, you'll be happy with those fries, Anthony. There's no salt on them. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, they're salty. But as it seems that people seem to get a resistance to salt, and when I found it a really hard issue to get my head around, because it's one thing where it's really hard to get clear information. Half of people are saying it's the devil, avoid it. And half of people, even in the health circles, are saying, oh no, it's necessary for the transfer of electricity. And
That's true.
Yeah, right.
That's true. Okay. So the human body's obligatory loss of sodium on a daily basis is around 250 milligrams, okay? Right. That's about a quarter of a teaspoon or less on a daily basis. So when we talk about the body's obligatory loss of sodium, that is the optimal amount of sodium intake on a daily basis mm-hmm. to maintain optimal health.
Right.
You need a quarter of a teaspoon or less. If you're eating enough fruits and vegetables, you should be able to get those quantities just in the fruits and vegetables alone. You shouldn't need to add salt to your food to meet your body's daily obligatory loss of sodium.
And it's very hard for people to give up salt sometimes because they find it so tasty,
of course,
or even to cut back. But I can say I've remembered when I went through a period of like eating salads every morning for breakfast, after a while I tasted a cucumber like you've never tasted a cucumber before.
Yeah.
I just like, my mouth just came alive.
Yeah.
And you experience that with people on the diet here as well.
That's
right.
They
start to enjoy it more.
When people come to our clinic, because they're so used to eating so much salt, now they're coming into a clinic where there's absolutely no salt. Mm-hmm. For the first 2 to 3 weeks, they hate the food.
Mm-hmm.
They hate it. You know, that's not everybody, but it's most of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because you have receptors on your tongue. You have receptors for sweet, sour, bitter, and salty. When we've drowned those receptors decade after decade after decade with typically sweet and sour and salty, right? We drown those and they become dull and insensitive. That's why an older person needs more and more salt every day to taste their food, so to speak. But when you go on a diet like this, you start to not only detox your body, you detox your receptors on your tongue. And so things that are sweet, things that are salty, things that are sour, you taste those naturally in the fruits and vegetables.
Right.
And so that is a natural process that takes place from somebody who's here at our clinic.
Right, their taste buds come alive again.
They do, it's true.
So there's some ingredients in the juices that perform specific functions. And one of those, for example, we'll see how many we can get through, is the Granny Smith apple, which you opened my eyes to the importance of. We heard an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Is it true?
Of course it's true. It's scientifically true.
Oh, interesting.
So when we talk about the mitochondria converting sugar into energy, right? When a sugar molecule enters the cell, it goes through something called the Krebs cycle.
Right.
So one sugar molecule produces three molecules of something called nicotinic acid dehydrogenase. That's a three reaction step. Well, that very first reaction in the Krebs cycle in the mitochondria requires malic acid. Granny Smith apples are loaded with malic acid. And so an apple a day keeps the doctor away, particularly a sour apple. The more sour it is, the more malic acid it probably has. Now, you know, other things in the, you know, in the fruits and vegetables, I'll be perfectly honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's working in it and what's not working in it.
Right.
They say, scientists say, there are literally millions of compounds within a fruit or a vegetable that they have yet to identify.
Oh, I see.
So we really don't know what's working exactly.
Yes, and there is a certain attitude in medicine that if we don't know why something works, it doesn't work. And that's why they dismiss a lot of things.
Right.
And personally, I think their whole etiology of disease, the reason why they believe disease is created, is so wrong that they can come up with theories for why their medications work.
Exactly.
But they're just getting high on their own supply. It's a feedback loop where everyone's agreeing with everyone else.
That's right.
But the thing is, because we have this system which is emphasis on treating disease after the fact, which is where the money's made right now, and that's not how it should be. If you would want them to be making more money when you're getting healthier, just like you want your financial advisor to be making more money when he's giving you good financial advice.
That's right.
Under that system, then all the science would be on how do we get people healthy? How do we get people healthy?
That's right.
Even psychologically, how do we help them follow a protocol? They might not want to, you know, but that's not where the money is right now. You mentioned oxygen, and you've made some adjuncts to Dr. Gerson's plan. In his whole life, he was also experimenting. He tried things that didn't work.
Mm.
Sometimes he gave some people some hormones to give them energy, and he found that their tumors grew back.
That's
so,
right.
So he stopped doing that. He was always looking to try and improve his protocol, and you've continued to do that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the adjuncts you use.
Well, we've been talking right about properly oxygenating cells. Right. So what we're doing is we're restoring the body's ability to oxygenate cells by changing the diet, by changing the cell membrane, by changing the internal integrity of the cell. Well, once you've done that, now you want to make oxygen readily available, right? In 1931, Otto Warburg, he won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for demonstrating that cancer, viruses, and bacteria cannot survive in a body where the body's properly oxygenated. Right. And he went on to describe that the body's primary ability to oxygenate the body was an alkaline diet. So we're doing that. So now, as you've seen at our clinic, we've added therapies that enhance the oxygenation of the body, right? You spent time in the hyperbaric chamber, right. We do hyperbaric chamber. We do pulse electromagnetic frequency treatment in the form of the Beamer mat, mm-hmm. which they say oxygenates tissues 30% greater than a chamber.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, 30% greater, they say. And then we do ultraviolet blood irradiation with ozone. Then you can do rectal ozone. Ozone, oxygen is O2, ozone is O3, right? So you can give rectal ozone. You can do hydrogen peroxide therapy.
Sorry, I'm being really immature laughing at the ozone up the butt because I'm thinking, oh yeah, you might get a bit gassy.
Well, oxygen is a gas. So
it corrects. So the peroxide, as it's known generally, HCl, is it? Sorry, no, that's hydrochloric acid.
What?
You said
HCl is hydrochloric acid, right?
What were you saying about taking
peroxide?
Rectally?
No, not rectally.
No.
Well, you could. Like in the enema, you could probably put, you know, several drops of pure food-grade 35% hydrogen peroxide in an enema, and you'll oxygenate the body, right?
What's that going to do? Is that going to react with...
No, it's just going to provide... What is hydrogen peroxide? It's H2O2, right? Okay. So it has oxygen, you know, molecules. Right. And so it's a way of oxygenating the body. You could also throw a cup or two of pure 35% peroxide in a full bath and soak in that bath.
And that's not corrosive to the skin excessively or anything like that?
A cup or two should not be in a huge bath, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, one cup of peroxide, if you were to, you know, that is highly destructive,
right.
You know, if you're not diluting it.
Right.
But in a huge bath, one cup of peroxide should not be, you know, caustic at all.
Right. And would you say something about castor oil? Because I hear that there's a function for that and it's coming back as well. It's an ancient...
That goes back a millennia, right?
Right.
I mean, our grandparents did it. Our great grandparents did it when they were kids. When they were kids, if they got sick, they got castor oil. Why? We use castor oil in this therapy because it helps facilitate toxicity out of the body. Castor oil is a major, thick, heavy fat.
Right.
And the body can't break it down.
Right.
But it does everything possible to try to break it down. How does the body break down fat? Well, bile. Mm-hmm. Bile's highly alkaline. Mm-hmm. Bile breaks down fat. When you eat a fatty meal, you got to go to the bathroom because bile flow increases. So castor oil is given on this therapy to speed the release of the toxicity, because when you take 2 tablespoons of castor oil, the body does everything it possibly can to break it down by releasing massive amounts of bile. Well, what's attached to that bile? Toxins.
Right.
So you're eliminating toxicity through the kidneys and the digestive tract by taking 2 tablespoons of castor oil daily.
Yeah, and this is going all over the place. I saw a yoga practitioner on YouTube saying, you know, every so often you should just take, we used to do it when we were kids, take a day off and take a quarter of a cup of castor oil and just purge and purge and
that
purge,
would purge
and purge.
Our patients get 2 tablespoons,
okay.
Let alone
a quarter of a glass.
Yeah.
That was just every once in a while.
Yeah.
Because in that system, whenever the first thing they do is try and remove everything out of the digestive tract.
Yeah.
Hmm. Is there anything else you'd want to cover?
No, you know, I mean, Dr. Gerson, you know, he's been dead now 64 years. He died in 1959. Schweitzer called him the greatest genius in medical history. To this day, he remains the greatest genius in medical history. Mm. 8 movies have chronicled our work. No other therapy can remotely boast but one.
Right.
And why? Because there is no other therapy in history to this day that can reverse advanced disease with the consistency that we can.
And you said you have something like 30-35% success rate with stage 3 and stage 4.
That was melanoma.
Okay, melanoma.
Right? So people say, well, what are your success rates? The reality is, You really can't determine success rates on a therapy like this. Why? Because you have no control over the subjects, right? You know that when they leave our clinic after 2 to 3 weeks, they go home and they have to continue the therapy at home for another 2 years. Well, what are you going to do? Call up Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones, are you doing the therapy? Yes, Dr. Vickers, I'm doing the therapy. Are you sure you're not eating cookies, cake, and ice cream? You're drinking carrot juice and doing coffee enemas? You don't know, right? And people have a tendency to lie, right? So you have no control over the subject. So coming up with success rates is actually quite difficult on a therapy like this. However, I sent you the study, the Gerson melanoma study. In that study, we were able not to sequester, but to control very tightly. I think it was 70 or 80 melanoma patients in all different stages, And that is the only study in medical history proving the ability to reverse advanced terminal cancer. There is no other study in medical history, okay? In that study, as you just said, we were able to demonstrate in stage 3, stage 4B, a 35% cure rate. And melanoma is the deadliest cancer you can have. It's the most aggressive cancer. So you would, you can, you know, cancer's cancer. Even though that's melanoma, as we've already addressed, cancer is a metabolic issue. So we would probably expect similar results with all the rest of the cancers as well. And that's probably, you know, what our success rate would be if you were really able to determine every success rate for every cancer.
And it's worth mentioning things like this therapy was not invented for cancer. It was popularized by that. I think Dr. Gerson had a migraine. And then he treated it with this, and then he started treating his other patients with migraines. And one had lupus. And it reversed their lupus. So all of a sudden this was now a tuberculosis treatment. I think people need to understand that disease is not something that just cancer just doesn't turn up overnight.
That's right.
Took your body years to get to the stage of metabolic degeneration where you got to cancer. By that time, the detoxification organs might not be all they once were, and your body's ability to pass toxins or even to absorb nutrients might be impaired. So if you get into things early, you've got a much better chance of reversing the disease process on every level, because all of your body's functions are still there. You were telling me yesterday that, like, for example, nerve damage is not typically reversible.
Central nervous system. Yeah, so like Parkinson's,
right?
Or Lou Gehrig's disease. Those are central nervous system diseases. Once you've destroyed the central nervous system, the brain, the spinal cord, you know, that's almost impossible to heal. Now we can stop the progress of such a disease. Now take MS. MS would be the sister disease to Lou Gehrig's disease. MS works peripherally. So it starts peripherally, works its way central. We can cure that. Central nervous system diseases, we can.
Well, I mean, I think healthcare system based on humane values would prevent disease where possible and treat it where necessary. And I feel like your work here is extremely necessary. So thanks so much for having me and also the interview.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure having you,
It's been
Anthony.
A great pleasure.